So first of all, let's boot up Visual Studio. Currently I'm using Visual Studio 2015 Professional, but you can also use Visual Studio 2015. So we'll just go File, New, Create, Project. And you can see that there are quite a few options. Let's just quickly brush on a few. You've got Visual C Sharp, which is what we'll be using. But you can also develop, not Windows apps, but other applications in Visual Basic, C++, and Python. So just head on over to the Visual C Sharp section. Under Visual C Sharp, you'll want to go under Windows. Now, Windows has a drop-down tab there, and you can see that you've got three different options: Universal, Windows 8, and Classic Desktop. And under Windows 8, you've also got a whole bunch of different options there. Depending on what version of Windows you're using and what Visual Studio version you are using, this might look a little different. For example, if you're running Visual Studio 2015 on Windows 8, you won't see this universal option. You will see Windows 8 and all the options that are underneath it, because this type of universal app is specifically for the Windows 10 platform. If you're on Visual Studio 2013 and you're running Windows 8, this won't even be called Windows. I think it's called, let's see, Store Apps. And then under Store Apps, you'll have Windows Apps. And that is where you will need to go. So for those of you who are using 2015 and Visual Studio 2015 and Windows 8, head on over to Universal and choose blank app. There are some templates for other apps, but we won't be using those for now. So give your app a name. Let's call this MSA Weather. And untick add source control for now. This is something that you might want to use later on, but for now we can forget about it. And you can also untick the show telemetry in Windows Dev Center. Now, with Windows Universal, you can actually run this app that you make on virtually every Windows 10 device, right from the Xbox to a tablet to your phone. So that's really handy, and that's something that's quite unique to the Windows 10 platform. All right, let's click OK. So once that's done, you should see a Solution Explorer and a properties window as well. Let's just take a look at the files that it's created for us. Inside your project, so you've got your solution and then your project. Inside a project, you've got something called your mainpage.xaml file. And if you click on a drop-down menu, you'll also see that associated with that is a mainpage.xaml.cs. If you remember back to the introductory slides, the XAML file defines the layout of our UI elements, while the CS file, which is the C# file, that defines our app logic. So here is where we put the buttons, the .xaml, and here is where we put the app logic, the .cs. Now let's head on over to the mainpage.xaml file. If you double click it, it should open Designer. Let me just close this output window for now. So Visual Studio will open a Visual Designer as well as show you the .xaml code that's associated with it. So on the top we have the Visual Designer, on the bottom is the associated XAML code. And whenever you update one or the other, it will update the update the other element for you. For example, if you were to add a button into your XAML, you will see the change in your page as well. So let's add a few elements now. First of all, we're building a weather app, so maybe we'll give our app a title. If you head on over to a toolbox tab on the left side of the screen and drop down common XAML controls, you can see a variety of controls presented to us. And you've got things from buttons to text blocks to text boxes. We'll start off with a text block. So this is basically displaying a block of text, as the name implies. To put it in, you can just drag it across and drop it into your page. You might need to zoom in a little bit here. I'm just using control mouse wheel. So you can see that it's dropped a visual element into the screen. And we can move that around. It will automatically snap to margins, and it'll tell you how far away from the margins it is. Alright, so when I've dropped, you probably noticed that as I dropped it into the Visual Designer, our XAML code has updated, like I mentioned before. It's added this element called text block, and it's given it a name. So you can change some of the properties of the elements you drop into the designer through the XAML code. Alternatively, what I like to do is use this properties window here. If you have a look here, it shows the name, which I can change. If I change that, let's call this title block. Okay, so this is the name of the element itself, not the text inside the element, which is why the text here didn't change. But if you look into our XAML code, you can see that the name property has changed. It is useful to name every single element that you have, because later on you'll see that we'll need to reference the element in our code by its name. So now we can change text inside this text box. So if we look into our properties menu again, you can see that there's a whole bunch of categories. To change the text itself, it's most likely going to be in text properties. If I have a look through here, I might drop down to see more options. Okay. So apparently it's not here. Okay, that's fine, because if we wanted to, we can search for it as well. If I type in text, maybe, let's see. So that's very handy. There's a little search option if you can't find the element you're looking for. So it looks like it's not actually under the text category, it's actually under common. And here's the text field that we can change. So let's call this MSA weather. And if I type that in and hit enter, it's instantly updated on our designer. And if you look at the XAML code, it's also added the associated property, text. Okay, so if we zoom out, you can see that it's a little small right now. It's a little uncomfortable to read, so we might increase the font size a little bit as well. All right, so if I just type in font, there we go. You can see that we've got a few font options, and here is our size. So let me just bump this up to, let's see how it looks with 30. That looks pretty good. We've got a big title here now. So that's a text block. Again, a text block is simply showing a block of text. Let's take a look at another element now. Let's have a look at the text box. So this box, not block. Alright, so I've dropped in a text box, and what the text box does is take a user input, so the user can click on it and start typing something in. So I'm going to increase this width a little bit there, and you notice that it's got some text inside already. That's okay, we can change that, but instead of adding some text in there before the user types in, we might want to add something called a hint text. So let me just find that property hint. Okay, actually it's not called hint, it's called placeholder. There we go. The placeholder text. So with this, you can type something in, let's say, enter a city. All right, we need to get rid of We need to get rid of the existing text in there to see our placeholder text. So let me just search again, text. Let's just remove that. So the placeholder text, you've probably experienced this in real life when you're filling in forms. So the text is there until the user clicks on it. So once a user clicks on it, it will disappear. Actually, we can build this app now and see that happen. So if I just go run on a local machine, it will do its thing, it will build it, and soon enough we should be able to get the app. Cool, here we go. So you can see it says Enter City, so if I start typing in something, it gets rid of the Enter City placeholder text. Okay, so that's a text box there, and that's for taking in user input. In this case, we are asking for the user to enter the city that they're in, and we'll be able to get the weather for that city. Now we want to add another interactive element, and you've probably all come across these before, buttons. We want the user to be able to trigger the app to download the weather data. Of course, in an actual weather app, you want to do that automatically. But for now, we will just do it this way. So the user enters the city, presses the button, and it retrieves the weather information. In a moment, I'll show you how to link this button to code. But for now, let's just tidy this button up a little bit. So let's call this button getWeather. Let's change the text inside. So again, in the properties, let's search for, I don't think it's called text this time, I think it's called content, because in buttons you can have text or images. So you can see a property called content here, and this is where we can type something in to be displayed inside the button. So let's call this getWeather. And you should, if you click outside, you can see that it updates it and it's automatically scaled the button size for us as well. So we're almost there. We've captured the user's input and we gave them an option, we gave them a button to press on when they want to get the weather. Now we want to display the results. So we're going to go back to using text blocks, I always get them confused, text blocks to display the information, but we also want a way to nicely lay out the information. So I just want to quickly touch on the layout options. So if you look in your XAML controls, you've got something called grid, which is what this is currently, and I'll show you in a moment where you can find that out. You've got a grid. You've got stack panels, so this allows you to stack elements on top of each other, either horizontally, so that's a horizontal stack panel, or vertically, that's a vertical stack panel. In Windows 10, they've also introduced something called a relative panel, and that's really useful for building one app that's going to scale on many different screen sizes. Instead of referencing the elements to the parent element, you can, inside a relative panel, you can reference you can position the elements relative to each other. So, for example, in this case, we can choose to position the getWeather button instead of to the margins, which is what it's doing now. You can get it to be positioned relative to the text box or the text block above it, for example. But for now, we'll keep it simple and we won't use that. You won't have that option if you're using Windows 8. So for now, we will use a stack panel. So I'm just going to drag this in for now. So it's invisible right now, it's not very useful. And we want to sort of arrange this, tidy this up a little bit. First of all, let's move it into place. So It's an invisible element that will help keep our that will help keep our other elements organized. So we've got a decent amount of elements now in our document. Let's head on over to document outline on the side. So on the left-hand side, you should see something called document outline, and this basically gives us a view of all the different elements that are inside our layout. This is very handy, especially later on when you do have a lot of visual elements. You're going to be working in this panel more than the actual visual designer. So you can see that all of the elements we've added so far, we've added to grid. We've added to a grid layout. I mean, this is not actually ideal for how we're placing the elements now, but we'll just use that for now. And you can see that here's our newly added stack panel. So first of all, with the stack panel, let's horizontally stack some elements. So I'm going to put in two text blocks. Got it right this time. Let's drag in the first text block. Okay. And let's drag in a second text block. All right. So you can see that it's stacked my two elements vertically at the moment. But actually, what I want to do now is stack them horizontally. So if I click on the layout, either by clicking on this little invisible square or going into Document Outline and clicking on the Stack panel, if I go into Properties now, you can see that it's not showing any properties because I already typed something in, so I have to clear my search. You can see again it's got its own set of properties. What I want to head over to is, let me, I think it's Layout. Yes, if you go into Layout, the Layout category, you can see that there is a property called Orientation. Right now it's set to vertical. If we want to make it horizontal, we can just change that to horizontal, and you can see that our two text blocks are stacked side by side. We can make this a little bit smaller now. So what I want to do maybe is, let's give this a bit of a margin, so just to give a bit of space between the two elements. So we've got our first text block and our second text block, and they're stacked horizontally. Let's give this a name. So first of all, let's call this, let's see, text. Actually, let's not give the left-hand side elements names. Let's give the right-hand side elements names, because these are the elements we'll be referencing in our code. So for the first one, instead of giving it a name here, I'm just going to change a text inside. So let me search text. I'm going to call this city. So first thing I want to show the user is the city that they're looking for. You may think this is counterintuitive because you're entering the city up there already, but and it is a little, but for now we want to verify that the city they entered is the city of the data that they're getting back. So on the right-hand side element, this is where we're actually going to show the city name. So let's name this property. Let's call it text block city. Great. And right now we don't have anything to show, so I'm going to go back into the text property and just show two dashes just to show that there's no information there. All right, so we're able to show the city. Let's head back onto our document outline and select the stack panel. All right, that's looking quite good. But there are more things that we want to show. So we want to show, for example, the temperature, the pressure, and the humidity. So we're going to need more of these. Now, we've dealt with a horizontal stack panel. Now we're going to use a vertical stack panel to stack more of these displays. So I'm going to go into Toolbox. I'm going to add another stack panel. Make sure you don't drag it into any existing layout, just drag it to the side somewhere. So I'm just going to drag this stack panel just over here for a moment. What I want to do is stack these stack panels in this new stack panel that I have. One way is to click on that and drag it in, or I can go into Document Outline, which is the way I prefer, and I'm just going to collapse that first stack panel. So I'll just drag the first stack panel into the second stack panel. So now you can see that our first stack panel is now a child element of the second stack panel that we just created. And we won't change the orientation of the second stack panel because we want it to be vertical. So let's drag it back up to, let's give it some space here. Okay. And a neat thing, let's just expand this. A neat thing we can do with these stack panels is, well, actually, we can do this with any element, is to copy-paste it. So what I'm doing now is I'm pressing Ctrl-C. I'm going to click on the parent element and press Ctrl-V. All right, so it's created one element, and then I'm going to press Ctrl-V again. I'll just show two pieces of information for now. You can show more pieces later on if you want. Of course, these now change. So another way to edit the elements quickly is to just click into the text block. So I'm going to call this one temperature. And I'm going to call this one conditions. Okay. All right. So that's okay. Just be careful. You can see that we've named this element here text block 30. Of course, these other text blocks aren't holding the city information. This one we will rename it to text block temperature, and we'll call this one text block conditions. All right, so now we're showing the city, temperature, and conditions. Let's quickly check the document outline to make sure everything's okay. All right, so we've got our title block, text box. Oh, I actually forgot to name our text box, and I think that will be important later on, so we know which element we're looking for. So I'm just going to click on the text box and give it a name. So I'm going to call this text box city. All right, and let me just double check. That looks okay. All the things that we do need to reference, we do have a name for. All right, so that's good. Now we get on to how you can start linking these UI elements to your code. So we'll look into something called an event handler. When the user interacts with something, like they type in something in the text box, or they press the button, we want to be able to do something in the code. So let's do that with the get weather button. All right. So if I press on the get weather button, you can see. So right now we're on the properties view in this properties window. If you look on the side here, we've got a little spanner icon and then a little lightning bolt icon. We want to press on the lightning bolt icon. And this takes us to the list of events that this element supports. So with a button, it supports a click, double tap, drag enter, so that's if you drag something in, dropping, etc. And you can take a look into things that you can capture. But the most obvious is the click event. And to add the event handler, it's quite simple. Visual Studio makes it very easy. First, we'll give this event handler a name. So let's say, let's call this get weather pressed. Okay, once we're happy with that, press enter. And when we press enter, it will generate a method, an empty method for us in the mainpage.xaml.cs code. This is where we've jumped to. So automatically, it's first of all, it's defined the event handler, and it's created the event handler, well, an empty event handler anyway. That way, when we press this button, it's going to jump into this method and run whatever code that's contained inside here. So for now, let's see, let's make it do something. Let's make it so when we press the button, it will take whatever the user types into the city text box and show it here in the city text block. Alright, so first of all, we'll need to take in what the user types into the text box. Now, remember how I gave it a name before, text box city? This is where we'll make use of it. Okay, so if we go into our code, we can create a new string variable called city. Oops, city, and we can make that equal to. Now, to reference the UI element, we simply type its name. So I think I call it text box city. If I hit tab, you probably notice how it's given me a suggestion, a set of suggestions here. And this is a very useful feature of Visual Studio called IntelliSense. It really makes things a lot easier, and I'll show you in a moment why. So I've typed in text box city. Now, if I just press dot, you can see IntelliSense kicking into action, and it will show us all the different things that we can do with text box city. This is very handy because most of the time you won't be remembering every single method inside for a particular class. So it almost acts as instantaneous documentation. And all we want to do now is access the text property. Okay, so if we just end that with a semicolon, it's taken the text inside textbox city and put it into the string city. Okay, now we want to show this text in our text block. So let me just check. If I click on the city text block, we call that text block city. And I'm going to go into the code, type in text block, not box, text block city, and make that equal to city. Oh, okay. Oops. I can't make the element itself equal to city. I have to make the dot text property like previously. All right, so it's text block city dot text equals city. All right, save that, control S, and I can run this. So give it some time to compile. Here we go. Now I'm going to type in Auckland, for example, and I'll press get weather. And instantly, as soon as I press the get weather button, it's updated that field to Auckland, which is exactly what we want. So that's all working very well. Let's quit that and press stop. Okay, so hopefully that's shown you both how to create an event handler. And just to recap, to create an event handler, we clicked on the button we want to capture an event for, went to the event handler section, typed in the method, and pressed enter, and it's generated our method. And then I've also shown you how you can edit the properties of the UI elements inside your code. So in this case, we're storing the string from the text box and putting that string into the text block. Great. So now let's look into how you can start getting data, real data, into the app.